Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem. We begin the Mishnah about 10 lines down from the top of Mem and Aleph. We continue to learn for the safety and success of all Chayalei Tzal. They should be able to do everything that they need to do. All those in need of a refuah shleimah should have one b'mehera, and there should be shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up at the new Mishnah, Mem Omed Aleph, towards the top. Mishnah tells us, Hamafki Peros Eitzchavei, Ruvain goes and deposits Peros by Shimon. So, Harei Zeyotzi Lo Chesronos. We had referred to this the other day. If there is a depreciation in the Peros, for example, the Achborim ate it, some of the mice ate some of the Peros, or there's a natural loss of some of the Peros over time, so then the person who had it deposited with him, Shimon, when he returns it, is allowed to take into account, well, you gave me 10 bushels of this, but now there's only 9.5 bushels left, or as we'll see, the parameters in today's Mishnah. So therefore, there is a certain set depreciation that will depend upon, according to the Tanakhama, it will depend upon the time of the year. It will be a set depreciation different for different types of produce, as the Mishnah now tells us. So for example, l'chitim uli orez, for wheat and for orez. Orez is usually translated in Shulchan Aruch and Lamaisa as rice. However, Rashi always translates it as millet. So there is a difference between Rashi and Tosos. Tosos says that this is rice. That's the normally accepted way. It's not like Rashi, is that Orez is rice and that Dochen, which will be the next thing that we have in the Mishnah, is millet. So we'll translate it like the Halacha Lamaisa translation. So for wheat and for rice, Tisho Chatzoi Kabin, one is entitled to a depreciation of 9.5 kavs for every kor. A kor is worth 30 saw. A saw is equal to, each saw has 6 kavin, so in a kor there are 180 kavin, and there is a set depreciation per year of 9.5 kavin. So that would be 4.5 kavin depreciating over the 180 kavin that you were deposited per year. So when you return it, you'll return after that year, you'll return 4.5 kavin less than the 180 that you received. And that turns out to be 2.5%. So the depreciation rate per year is 2.5% for wheat and for rice. L'sorin for barley, u'dochen. Again, Rashi translates the dochen as the rice. Tosus translates the dochen as the millet. So we'll, again, keep with the normal halacha l'maisa translations. So say for barley and for the millet, so then Tisha kabin lekor. So you're going to have 9 kabin, twice as much of a depreciation, 9 full kabin for every 180 kabin, for every kor, which is 30 saw, and there are 6 kabin in a saw, so 180. So it's 9 per 180. That's twice the depreciation rate, and that would be 5%. Mishnah continues and tells us for kusman, which is translated as spelt, and ulzera pishtan, for flaxseed, so then it's more than that, it's another twice as much, shalosh se'in l'kor. Then you can have 3 saw for every kor. Now, a kor is 30 saw. So here you're going to have a 10% depreciation rate, 3 out of 30. And that's, as the Mishnah tells us, hakol lefi hamida. It depends on the amount of the product that you have. So if you have more than a kor, you're going to proportionately have more loss. If you have less than a kor, you're going to proportionately have less loss. But the ratios are always going to be the same. Hakol lefi hazman. And these numbers that were given are for a set period of time, which is a year. So the Tanakhama is very consistent. He says, these are the depreciation rates per year, per item. Now, Amr of Yochaminuri says, when you're talking about, let's say, depreciation that's due to the mice, what difference does it make when you have 1 kor, 2 kor, 3 kor? The mice can only eat a certain amount. So, what difference does it make how much is there? The mice are going to eat a set amount. So, it shouldn't be proportionate to how much is there. It should be the mice eat this much every year. And therefore, bein meharbe ubein mekimah. It shouldn't make any difference whether there's a large amount there or a small amount there. The mice can only eat a certain amount. Ella, in a yotzi lo chesronus, ella lekor echad bilvai. So there's a set amount based upon a kor. The mice will eat based upon a kor. They'll eat that amount. If there's 2 kors, the mice don't eat more. If there are 3 kors, the mice don't eat more. So the amounts that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri would say are depreciated based upon the mice eating it, and that is a set amount for every product that we talked about, but it doesn't make any difference whether there's 1 kor, 2 kor, 3 kor, 4 kor. No, let's say the 9.5 kavs or the 9 kavs or the 3 saw for the various produce that we talked about, that is a set amount no matter how much you have in excess of a kor. That is Rav Yochanan ben Uri's opinion. Finally, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, the Tanna, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im haisa mida meruba, when you have a very large amount, which we'll define in the Gemara as 10 kor, so eina motzi lo chesronos, nipnei shemosiros, then, based upon we'll see in the Gemara, because it will puff up when you have a very large amount, you're going to have some swelling, so it's going to look like you're giving back more than there really is there. So the depreciation, some of it that's used up, is going to be masked, if you wish, by the puffing up, the mosiros, the expansion of the product, and therefore you don't deduct anything when you're dealing with a very large amount, and the Gemara will explain exactly how this works. Okay, so we have the three shittas of the Mishnah, and we start off in telling us orez tuva choser. We had said in the Mishnah that the orez, which again Tosfos translates as rice, is actually going to be 9.5 kabs per every kor. But the Gemara says, in fact, orez will depreciate more. So why did you only make it 9.5 kabs? So Amar Rabba Bar Barachana, Amar Yochanan, Rabba Bar Barachana says in Rabbi Yochanan, it depends what type of rice you're talking about. But orez, koluv shanu. When we're dealing over here with rice that is peeled, so then it doesn't spoil as much. When the peel is there, so then it will spoil more. And therefore, the depreciation amount given in the Gemara was dealing with peeled rice. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Lekusmin ulezera pishton gimul son lechur lechule. So for the pishton and the zera, so we had said the amount was 3 saw for every 30 saw, every kor, and that was a 10% ratio. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yochanan says the name Rabbi Chiya, Zera Pishton Begiv Olin Shanu. This depreciation rate of 10%, that's specifically when you're dealing with flaxseed that is still inside the Givolin. It's still inside its husk. And in that situation, it will depreciate the way that it did. Because, as Rashi points out, here, Chaser Kol Kach, you have such a large depreciation rate, Lefisha Givolin Misyavsha, because these husks are going to dry out, the Noflin, and they're going to fall off, the Ruach Minash Basan, and the wind is going to blow them away. However, Avolzera Pishton Naki, if it doesn't have the husk, it's already been dehusked, so then Eino Chaser Kol Kach, then you're not going to have this 10% depreciation rate. And the Brisa is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Rabbi Chiya, Tani Nami Hachi, Lekusmin Ulezera Pishton Begivolin. The Brisa says it's Beferish, it's talking about the Zera Pishton that still is in within the husk. So then you have this 10% ratio. And likewise, Ula Orez She'eno Kolov. And it also brings down what we had mentioned before from Rabbi Bar Barachan, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. If you're dealing with Orez that has already been Kolov peeled, so then we have the rate in the Mishnah. But here in the Brisa, it tells us Ulorish Sheino Kolov, so then these husks that are there are going to have a much larger depreciation, and therefore, for both of these two scenarios, it's Shlosha Saw and Lekor. It's going to be the 10% ratio of 3 saw for every 30 saw for every kor. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Hakol of Yamida v'chuli. The Tanakhama said, it all depends on the situation, how long a period of time it was, and you, for each kor, you have that depreciation rate. Tana, we learn the following Brisa, Bein l'chol kor v'kor, l'chei l'chol shana v'shana. The Brisa says exactly the way we explained this, that this amount, according to the Tanakhama, is going to be for every kor. So if there's one kor, it's going to be 9.5, let's say, kavim in the first scenario. If there's two kor, it's going to be twice, that'll be 9 kavim, etc., etc. And it will all depend for each year. If you deposit it with you for 1 year, so then that's the deduction, that's the depreciation rate. If it's 2 years, it will be twice as much. Then we quote the Mishnah, Omer, Yochanan ben Uri, v'chule. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri said, no, the mice don't care how much is there. They're going to eat a set amount. What difference does it make if there's one kor, two kor, or three kor? Now, that certainly makes very good sense. So, Tanya, the Brisa tells us, Omer, Lola, Rabbi Yochanan, what is the Chachamah's response with Yochanan ben Uri? After all, sounds like he's right. So they say, no, Harbe Ovdos Mehen, Harbe Nispazos Mehen. No, the more that's there, the more likely the mice are going to go and ruin it. The more that's there, the more likely it's going to go and get lost. Now, exactly how this works, the Gemara doesn't explain. But Tosfos brings down a Yerushalmi that's very, very interesting. In Dibur Maslo, V'chi Mach Ichpat Luhu Liachbar. And he says, V'tamayu D'Rabban, he explains this rationale of the Chachamim, who argued the Rav Chanuri, is Mefarsh Yerushalmi. It's stated actually in the Yerushalmi. And it says, Hani Achabori Rishi Ninhu. These mice are wicked mice. That Kad Chamim, when they see Ibor, a tremendous amount of food over there, it's not that they just go and eat it. Lo mistayu the ochle. They don't just eat it themselves, but they call their relatives. Elikarion lechavrein. They call the other mice and say, hey, there's a bounty over here. The achle imon. So if there's one kor, they don't go and call call the other mice, and they eat a certain amount. But there's two cores, they go call mice, who will now eat that second core? And this is how you have to understand the shita of the Chacham who argue with Rav Yochanan Uri, which after all seems to sound pretty much what difference it makes to the mice, how much is there, Ben Harbi, Ben Kibba, they're going to eat a set amount. Okay. Mark continues and says, "Tana, we learn the following brayso. By med dvar mamur, what are we talking about? She ervon in peroso. When Reuven deposits the produce with Shimon, when do we use all of these depreciations? That's when Shimon mixed his items with Reuven's items. Now he may not have been allowed to do that, but he did it, or he was given permission to do that. In any event, they're now all mixed together. So that's how you have to say, well, you gave me, you know, a core's worth, so I'm going to return to you less the depreciation rates. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. She'ir von im perosav. However, if they didn't mix, Reuven just deposited with Shimon, and all those core's worth of produce are still right there in the same place, so then in that situation, you just return whatever the depreciation is. That's what it is. Avoyichid lo Karen's obviously put it in a set place. So Omelo here, Hareish Cholofanecha. Here it is back. If it didn't depreciate, fine. If it depreciated more, fine. This is what you deposited, and I'm giving you back exactly what you deposited. So where it says, V'chi Ervon imperosov, my habi. So what if he mixed it with his own fruits that we're saying these are the ratios? See how much of his own was present and how much of the other person's was present. Let's say it was a 3-to-1 ratio. He had mixed 3 of his own with every one of what Reuven had deposited him. So now what you have over here. So you keep 3 parts for yourself and you give 1 part back to Reuven. Isn't it the same idea as if you had been yichid lo keren zavis? So it says, v'mistakim him. No, because Shimon was constantly taking some of his produce. So it started off with a 3-to-1 ratio, but he took an unknown amount. And therefore, it's not exactly the 3-to-1 ratio that it was originally. No, so the Gemara says, v'lefsik. So see what you took. So maybe you made it into a 2-to-1 ratio. So now just give it back 2-to-1. So the Gemara says, no, the lo yodei kam mistap. Because no, he doesn't know how much he took. And therefore, we have to use the principles that were outlined in our Mishnah. Then we go to the third opinion that we have in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Moitza V'chule. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that when you have a very large amount, which we'll define now as 10 kor, so then there is no depreciation because the appreciation, the expansion, will make up for the depreciation. So Gemara says, how much, first of all, is this Mida Meruba that Rabbi Yehuda's talking about? Kama Mida Meruba. So I'm a Rabbi Bar Baruchana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Bar Baruchana, in the name of Yochanan, who's defined many, many of these items, has taught us Asara Kur, that it's 10 Kur, and the Brisa says the same thing. Tani Nam Yochan, again, the Amoran didn't know necessarily all the Brises, so the Brisa supports that which Rabbi Bar Baruchana said in Rabbi Yochanan, Kama Mida Meruba, Asara Kur. Okay. Now we have to still understand, where do you see that when you have 10 kor, that the expansion is going to make up for the depreciation? So, Tani Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. One of the Amorayim taught the following brisa in front of Rav Nachman. It said, how do you define our Mishnah, the Nedvar Mamurim? When do we say that this expansion makes up for the depreciation? Shemad dad lo mitoch gorno, when he measured it out from his silo, from his granary, and the hasel lo mitoch gorno, and he gave it back to him from that same granary. However, but if he measured it out from the silo and then the hechselo mitoch beso, but he then paid him back from inside the house, so there ain't a yotzilo chesronos that makes him osiros. That's where Rabbi Yehuda said that you don't have to take into account depreciation. That's because in the house, you're actually using measures that are smaller. So the saw measure that you used in the granary is actually a larger measure than the saw measure that you use in the house. They're both called a pound, let's say, but the pound that's used out in the field, in the silos, is going to be different than the pound that's used in the house. So the pound in the house is smaller. So when he gave you 10 kor, so you got 10 kor deposited with you with the larger kor measurement. And now when you're returning it with this smaller kor measurement, and that's why that will take up any depreciation. So you're intrinsically giving him the depreciation already, and that's how we have to understand Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the Mishnah. More questions is, this Amora taught this Bryce in front of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman tells this Amora, Amale, v'chi b'shuftani askidim? Rashi says shuftani means shotim. We've had this word many times. He says, are we dealing with fools over here? The yosve b'chal yorabah, v'shokle b'chal yezuta? What, that they're using two measures. When you give the measure, to the person, when Reuven gives it to Shimon, he uses a large measure, and if he gets it back, he accepts it back with a smaller measure. Are we dealing with fools over here? Who would do something like this? So that can't be the understanding. This brisa is obviously misunderstood. Ella, what does it mean? Ella, Dilma, Biemos, Hagorin, Ka'amis. When you learn this brisa, and it said, Shemad, Lomitol, Garno, so that's talking about during the days of the time that the produce is in the silos. And that is towards the end of the summer, after everything Rashi says has been dried up. So Bamedvar Mamurim Shemada Lobi Mosagorin. He measured it out when it's already dry. The Hexalobi Mosagorin, and if he returns it in Mosagorin, so then you don't take this into account because you're getting and giving when it's dried out both ways. So therefore, there is no automatic expansion, and you just have to take into account all the things that the Tanakama or Yochanan and Nuri had said in terms of depreciation. However, if it was originally given, Reuven deposited it with Shimon when it was dried out in the Emos Hagoren, the half salobi Emos HaGishomim, but he returned it back during the rainy season when it's more humid and things will expand. So then, Eino Yotzi Lo Chisaron Mipnei Shemosiros. Now, it expands. So this is a volume measurement. So the previous measurement was when it was dry, when it was in its smallest volume. And now you're returning it when it's expanded because of the moisture. So the natural depreciation will be made up by the expansion. So when you got a core's worth when it was dry, and you're returning a core's worth when it's moist, so then the natural depreciation, let's say it went down 10%, went down 5%, whatever it was, but the expansion will be equal to that. So it expanded 5% or 10%, and therefore you don't take into account depreciation because we have the expansion to negate the depreciation. That's the way Rav Nachman says you have to understand the brisa. Only Rapopoli Abai, Rapopoli questions and says to Abai, in Cain, if what you're saying is true, that the grain will expand when it becomes the moist season, so then live kakanda. So then if you were to place it into a barrel, so then it should expand and it should break the barrel because of the pressure. The increased expansion should break the barrel. So but Papa asked this question to Abaye. Abaye says, yeah, have the Paco God, 100%. You're exactly right. That's the physics over here. If you have it in a closed space and it expands, it's going to break the barrel. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, no, it may not break the barrel, mishum itzitza, because as Rashi says, dochak, mitoch shehen b'mokum tsar, the pressure, it's packed in so tightly and it's contained by the barrel, so it isn't capable of expanding. So if it's in an open area, so then it will expand. But if it's packed in tightly, so it won't have the opportunity to expand, and therefore it won't necessarily go and break the barrel. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Yotzi lo shtus liyayin, if a person gave wine, Reuven deposited wine with Shimon, so then a certain amount of the wine will get, as we'll see, absorbed into the barrel, or will be sediment, and therefore, when Reuven deposits wine with Shimon, he's going to be given back a sixth less. The shtus is a six, so you'll get back a sixth less. So if you gave him a sixth of wine, you're only going to get back 5/6 of wine. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Review the Omer, Chomesh. No, you're allowed to deduct a fifth, a larger amount. So if you give somebody a certain amount of wine, when you return it, you give a fifth less. Now, it looks like there's a machlokas over here between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. We'll have two explanations in the Gemara, which we'll see in a moment, as to why it's not a machlokas. They're just talking about in their own areas, and why in one area it will be a sixth, and why in one area it will be a fifth. We'll explain in the Gemara two answers. That's for wine. What about oil? So the Mishnah tells us, Yotzi lo shlosha lugin shemen lemeya, that if a person, Reuven, goes and deposits oil with Shimon, and he deposits 100 lug, so for every 100 lug, he's entitled to take off 3 of those lugin when he returns them. So he'll only have to go and return 97 when he's given 100. Why is that? Because lugumechza, 1.5 lug, 1.5 lug, are going to be sediment, shmarim. And 1.5 lug, lugu mefza, bela, is going to be absorbed into the barrel that you put the oil into. So therefore, you're given 100 when you measure it out, but some of it will settle and some of it will get absorbed into the barrel, so you only have to go and return 97. Now, imoyo shemen mizukok, if it was oil that was already very, very clear, so then there's not going to be the sediment. So then, in yotzi lo shmarim, then you're not entitled to deduct 1.5 for the shmarim, because there are no shmarim over there. It's already been purified. And likewise, im hayu kankanim yishanim, if these were old barrels that had already been maximally absorbed oil into them, so then, and yosilo bela, then there is no right to go and deduct another 1.5 for absorption because they're already maximally absorbed and no more can be absorbed inside of them. So the Mishnah qualifies this ruling of the 97 for the 100, depending on whether it is already purified, so then there's no 1.5 loss of sediment, and if it's barrels that were old that are fully absorbed, so then there's no 1.5 of absorption. Then we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Mocher Shemim Mezukot L'Chaveru Koyimos Hashana. If somebody goes and Reuven purchased from Shimon Shemim Mezukot, this pure oil, and he's given it distributed over the year. So then, in this situation, so then, even though he bought 100 log worth of oil, he'll have to accept only getting 98.5 because there is the shmarim component over here. So when he bought it, he bought 100 right now, but 1.5 of that is going to settle and is going to be shmarim, as opposed to the idea that you would expect, well, he bought 100, so he has to be given 100 because he bought the purified oil. So therefore, you would think that there's no shmarim, but in this situation, there still is an entitlement of 1.5 for the shmarim, and the Gemara will explain why this is the case. Now the Gemara starts and tells us, when the Tanna Kamma says you deduct the sixth from the wine, and Rav Yehuda says you deduct the fifth of the wine, there actually is no machlokas. Below pligi, there is no machlokas, because each of them is talking about their own geographic area, and the facts are different in each geographic area. So, Mar Kiasrei, the Tanna Kamma is dealing in his area, we can deduct the sixth, and Rav Yehuda is dealing in his area, where you deduct a fifth. Why is that? Because Biasrei Demar, in the area of the Tanna Kamma, who says you deduct the sixth only, so Chofu Bikira, they would coat and the barrels with wax. And therefore, the wax didn't allow as much absorption. Velo Mayitz Tvei. And therefore, since it didn't absorb as much, so there's less absorbed into the barrel. So therefore, you only can deduct the sixth and not a fifth. However, Biasrei Demar, in Rabbi Yehuda's locale, so then Chofu Bikufra, they would go and seal their barrels with pitch. The pitch absorbed more than the wax, and therefore umayitz tvei, and therefore there's going to be a fifth of the wine that gets absorbed into the pitch, as opposed to a sixth of the wine that gets absorbed into the wax. And that's reason number one for the difference between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda. It's a practical difference between them and not a halachic difference between them. If you coat something with wax, they both agree the answer is a sixth. And if you coat something with pitch, they both agree the answer is a fifth. Alternatively, by Yisema, another way to explain the non-machlokis between the Tanna Kamma and Yehuda is they're talking about different scenarios. Again, Mishum Gargishta, it depends on the type of barrel that you're dealing with. If you're using a certain type of clay, like they did in the area of Rabbi Yehuda, so this clay, it absorbed more, as opposed to the clay that was used in the area of the Tanna Kamma. So it all depends on the type of earth that they were using to make their earthenware barrels. If it was a type that absorbed a lot, so then you would deduct a fifth. Everybody agrees to that. And that happened to be the scenario where Rabbi Yehuda lived. And if it was a type that didn't absorb as much, which happened to be the area where the Tanna Kamma lived, so then you can only deduct the sixth. But they don't have a machlokas between them. They all agree. It depends on the type of barrel. If it absorbs more, so then it will be a fifth. If it absorbs less, then it will be a sixth, and there's no machlokas. So that's the second way to explain why there's no machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda. Ma'isa Shoya, Biasrei de Rabbi Yehuda, in the place where the Amora, Rav Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, but Rav Yehuda the Amora lived, so he was a wine merchant. And Ramu Arboim Visamne Kuza, he would go and purchase a barrel of wine that had 48 Kuza in it, Kuza a certain measure, inside this barrel, Bidana. So he would buy 48 Kuz worth of wine inside this barrel. What was the cost to him? So Azil Dana Bishisa Zuze. When he would purchase it, he would pay 6 zuz for this barrel of wine that had 48 kuza inside of it. Paris Rabbi Yehuda, when he brought it back to his store and he would sell it for Shisa Bezuza. He would sell 6 kuz for a zuz. Now, if there's 48 kuz in the barrel, he would then sell it for 6 for a zuz, so he would have 8 times that, so he would sell it for 8 zuz. So he purchased the entire amount for 6 zuz, and he sold it for 8 zuz. His profit was 2 zuz. And we turn to Memo Mibetz. So the Gemara questions this, and it says, it goes through the calculation that I just did. It says, Dal Tlosin Vishisa Vishisa. So he sells 6 of the kuz for 6 zuz each, so that's 36 zuz, and partial lay tracer, and there's therefore 12 kuz left, partial lay tracer. Now, there was a certain amount that was absorbed, we said, into the barrel. That amount, we said, was a sixth. Let's go according to the Tanakhama, that this would absorb a sixth. So dal tamnaya, 1/6 of the 48, that's 8. That's dal tamnaya shesuse, you have to go and deduct 8 kuz that are going to get absorbed into the barrel. So from his original 48, there's really only 40 that he's able to sell. He sold 36 for the 6 zuz that he paid for it, and therefore he's left with 4 kuz. That's his profit. Partial lul arba. He's going to have 4 kuz left of wine to go and sell. Not, as I originally said, he's going to make 2 zuz profit, but he's only going to have 4 kuz, which he's going to sell for 2/3 of a zuz. His profit is only going to be 2/3 of a zuz. So the Gemara questions and says, Vamar Shmuel, hamistake, when you go into business, ayistake yoser al shus, you're not allowed to go and make a large profit, but you're allowed to make a profit up to a sixth. But here you see he's not making a sixth profit. He's only making a much smaller amount than that. He's only making over here 2/3 of a zuz for his investment of 6 zuz. So that's less than the 6 that he's allowed to go and take. So why didn't he charge more? So Gemara says, because ego gulfe ushmaraya. Because Rashi explains, he's gaining further, mishtaker, he's gaining the barrel itself, hakankan, and that's the gulfe, and the shmaraya, the shmarim shalokacha kol bevav zuz. So he gets the sediment, so he's keeping the sediment, he's keeping the barrel, so that's adding to his profit, and his profit isn't going to be only 2/3 of a zuz, it's going to be 2/3 of a zuz, plus the barrel, plus the shmarim, and that actually is more than a sixth, the Gemara says. So ihachi, if that's true, nofish lei tvei mishtos, so then he's making more than a sixth as a profit. Now, we just said, Shmuel had said, you're not allowed to be mistaker, yosef al shtos, so how could Rav Yehuda do this? So Gemara says, no, there are other costs as well that you have to take into account. Ikotirche, there's his effort. There's his going and purchasing the barrel, schlepping the barrel, and doing all the work. So he's entitled to be paid for that. Udume barzuniyasa. Rashi has two interpretations of what the dume barzuniyasa are. The first interpretation, Rashi says, in Dibur Masl, dume barzuniyasa, shino sein domim lichenvoni lemochron. Lotzien umachriz olav bichutzos. So there's a certain amount of advertising that you have to do. You have to go make announcements. Hey, I have wine to sell. Wine to sell. So therefore, that is also a charge that he has, an expense that he has. And Rashi explains that the Lashon of Karzini also comes from the Lashon of Karaza, which means an announcement. Alternatively, Rashi says, Lashon Acher, a second answer is, it's Barzini Yasa. That means, Umnis Yesh Benikivas Barzo. You have to pay somebody to go put a spigot into the barrel so we can dish out the wine. And Sorichli Ting Schar, and you have to pay the guy who's putting in the spigot to go and put in the spigot, and that's why he actually only made a sixth profit, and that was allowed. Okay, the Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Im hayo shem mezukach, if the oil was very, very pure, so then there is no shmarim, eno yotzi lo shmarim v'chule." Now, we had said as well, if it had absorbed into old jugs, so then the old jugs don't absorb anymore, and therefore you can't deduct the 1.5 for the absorption into the jugs. That's what the v'chuli is. More questions is, it says, how can you tell me that the old jugs don't absorb something? So more it says, no, they don't absorb at all, because we're dealing over here, they were smeared, they were sealed with pitch, and again, this pitch will prevent it from absorbing anymore. Baya gives a different teretz. Lav Davka, that he's arguing with Rav Nachman, he just gives a different teretz. He says, Afilu temo shlo b'mezufafim. You could argue he didn't put in pitch. Nevertheless, we're dealing here, kivan de ton, we're dealing with old barrels, and since they're already fully absorbed, ton, they can't absorb any more, and therefore there is no additional absorption. Then we quote the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Omer, Af hamocher shemen mezukot lechavero. If Reuven is buying from Shimon, Shemen Mezukah, purified olive oil, Koy Mos Hashana, all year long, so then he's getting a distribution. Let's say he bought 100 log, and he's getting 25 now, we'll get 25 in 3 months, we'll get 25 in another 3 months, 25 in another 3 months, so they, Harei Zem Mekabel Olav Lug Umetzu Shmar Lemea. Then even though he's buying pure oil, the one who's selling it to him is allowed to deduct for this 100 lugim of oil that he sold him, he's allowed to deduct 1.5 for the shmarim. Now, the Chachamim disagree, obviously, with Rav Yehuda. They say, no, he bought pure oil, so he has to get pure oil, and there is no deduction for the shmarim. Amr Abaye, Abaye says, Kisha Timsi Lomar Ledir Rabbi Yehuda Mutar Lari Shvar. That seems to imply that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're allowed to go and remix the shmarim into the oil. And therefore, since he could remix the oil with the shmarim, so therefore, when you're selling him the pure oil, you're allowed to deduct that 1.5 of the shmarim. And that implies that L'divrei Chachamim, you're not allowed to go and remix the shmarim. That's why you have to give him the pure 100 login of oil, and you can't deduct 1.5 of the shmarim. Also, Laru shmarim. That's what Abaye wants to say, that Rabbi Yehuda says you can remix the shmarim, so since if you don't, you're allowed to deduct the 1.5, whereas the Chacham say you're not allowed to remix the shmarim, and therefore you have to give him the 100, and you can't deduct 1.5. The Gemara says, let's explain this a little bit further. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Abaye says, mutar l'arvi shmarim, you're allowed to go remix the shmarim, v'hainu time of the mekabel. And that's why the person, Reuven, who accepted this, is going to have to accept getting only back 98.5 and not the full 100. Because the Amalei, because Shimon can go and tell Reuven, Eboila Reuven Loch, if I wish to, I could go mix in the Shmarim. Milo Arvi Loch, can't I go and mix them in? So therefore, since I didn't go and mix them in, Hashanami Kabil, so only accepted 98.5 without getting the sediments mixed in. That's the Svara according to Abaye. Nu, Gemara says, Vole Mole, why couldn't Reuven go and tell Shimon beforehand, he obviously fine, have him misnabili. Then I would have the extra shmarim, and I would be able to go and sell them. Hashtam, I avidle. Now, you didn't give me the shmarim, l'chudei lo misnabili. I can't go and sell the shmarim by themselves, they're worth nothing, so if you'd mix them in, so then I'll sell the 100, he's a middleman, so I'll go sell the 100, and I'll sell it for 100, but if you only give me 98.5, then I'm only going to be able to sell 98.5. So if you give me the shmarim separately, so I can't go and sell the shmarim. Nobody wants to buy the shmarim. It's only when they're mixed in that I'm able to sell them. So if you mix them in, fine. But if you don't mix them in, just because you could mix them in, why should I go and lose the 1.5? So when he says, because he's not a middleman. Kibala Bayis Askinan. We're dealing here with Reuven, was not a middleman that he's selling the 100. He just wants the oil. He doesn't want the shmarim. So therefore, he's getting the 98.5 of oil that he really is entitled to, because the other 1.5 is shmarim. He would only have to let that settle and throw it away anyway, because he's not a middleman. He's just using it for himself. So, b'bal habayis askinon denichle b'tzila. He wants the pure oil. He wants the clear oil. He doesn't want the shmarim, and he's not selling it, so therefore, he really only wants the 98.5, and that's well accepted. Nuri Gemara still questions this and says, "Belay Malay, why can't Reuven say to Shimon, Midelo arvisli, achule achlisli? Since you didn't mix it in, you're basically being meichelit. And you're basically saying, okay, that 1.5 I'll accept as a loss myself, and you should have to give me 100. So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yehuda l'taymeh, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is going l'shitaso, the last lay mechila, as we'll show now that he doesn't hold from this mechila. Shimon isn't mochel. And I'll show you from the following mission. This is a mission above a basra on Daf Ayin Zayin, where it says that not mochel lo es atzemet. If Reuven is selling to Shimon a yoke, a tzemet is the yoke for the cows. Lo mochel lo es abakar. He's not selling him the cows. He's only selling him the yoke. And mochel lo es abakar, if he's selling him the cows, lo mochel lo es atzemet. He's not selling him the yoke. Again, he says, I'm selling you the yoke, it's only the yoke. I'm selling you the cows, it's only the cows. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Omer had domim modim. Go look at the price. Cows are worth much more than the yoke. So the cows are worth $1,000, the yoke's worth $25. No, did he pay $1,000 or did he pay $25? Had domim modim. See what the actual purchase cost was, and that will tell you. Kate said, how does this mean it work? So Amalo, if Reuven had said to Shimon, "Mechor li tzimdecha b'masayim zuz, go and sell me your yoke for 200 zuz, hadover yadua, shena tzemen b'masayim zuz." The yoke is not worth 200 zuz, so obviously that's the yoke plus the oxen. However, their opinion of the Chachamim is different. The Chachamim ain't adomim raya. No, you can't bring a raya from the money because he is moichalit. Yeah, I bought it for 200. Even though it's not worth 200, I was moichal on the other. I want to give you a present. So according to the Chachamim, the person can be Meichel. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you look at the Domim, because the person is not Meichel. Oh, here you see, Rabbi Yehuda L'taymeh, the less lay Mechila. So to an our situation, when Reuven purchased the oil from Shimon, you can't say that he gets back 100, because Reuven can't say to Shimon, you are Meichel, because Rabbi Yehuda L'taymeh, that he's not Meichel, and therefore he is entitled to only give him 98.5, and he's not moichel the extra 1.5. Okay, now we understand Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Now, we have to explain the Chachamim. L'divrei Chachamim, Abaye had said, also la'ariv shvarim, you're not allowed to go and mix the shvarim. And that's why Reuven is entitled to get the full 100, not 98.5. He's entitled to get the full 100 because you're not allowed to go mix it in, and it's already purified. The Amalei, because Reuven can say to Shimon, Iba Usila Ruve, if you wanted to mix it back in, are you allowed to do that? And you have your Sherlock, you're not allowed to do that. So therefore, Hashtanami, since you're not allowed to go mix it in, so I'm not accepting 98.5, Lo Mikablina, I'm not going to accept it. You go and do that. Therefore, I want the full 100. And that's Abaye's understanding, the machlokis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, however, Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, Rav Papa says, Adarabba, Pum Faket, the exact opposite. If Chum Estabri, it makes more sense to say the exact opposite. L'divrei Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, Motul La'ari Shvarim. In fact, you are allowed to go and mix it in. Why doesn't he have to take the 98.5? He expects to get 100. By no time, the Lo Makabo, because he says, the Amalei, Reuven can say to Shimon, Midelo Arvis, since you were allowed to, but you didn't do it achuli achlessly. You obviously were willing to give it up. So if you had mixed it, you're right. I'd get the 100 with mixed in the 1.5. So I'm really only getting 98.5, but you didn't mix it. So therefore, I'm entitled to the full 100. The 1.5, you were moichel it. And L'divrei Rav Yehuda, Rav Papa says, also Le'arv Shvarim, the exact opposite. You're not allowed to mix the Shvarim according to Rav Yehuda. And therefore, behind the time of the Mekabel, then why is he getting 98.5 if he's not allowed to mix it? Because the Amalei, because Shimon can go tell Reuven, Iboy le'ruve, lo shari li le'ruve loch. If I wanted to, I'm not allowed to. So I can't mix it with you. Therefore, kabuli lo mekablis. And therefore, you can't tell me that you still insist upon 100. Because what am I? I'm going to lose out on that. So am I in business just to be called a businessman? Zavon v'zabin tagra ikre? Am I here in business just so I have the name of a businessman? This is not good business for me to go and sell you something for which I can't do anything with the shmarim. There are shmarim over here. What am I going to do with these shmarim if I can't mix them back in? So then you have to take that loss. And therefore, you're only entitled to 98.5 and you're not entitled to the full 100. Because otherwise, they're just going to call me a businessman, but I'm not doing any business. And obviously, that can't be. So therefore, Rapapa says it's pum fakef than what Abaye had said. Now the Gemara discusses a new aspect, what's called pikotim. This is basically, Rashi tells us, the stuff that accumulates on the top. Psolas hagarinim. This is the schmutz that comes out from the seeds. Hatsofun apnei hashomen, that floats on top of the oil. So this is the scum that floats on the top. So, Tana, we learn the following brisa. Echad alokeach, the echad amachkid. This din of the pikotim applies to both the lokeach, the one who purchases something, or the one who mafkid, the one who deposits something. So what do we mean by this? My lepikotim, what does it exactly mean? So Elaim, if you're going to tell me, ki heche de lokeach lo mikabel pikotim, just like the person who purchases, let's say Reuven's purchasing from Shimon, so he doesn't accept to take the schmutz that's on the top, he's not paying for that, so too, mafkid nami, so too, the mafkid who goes and gives over something, Reuven gives over something to Shimon, nami lo mikabel pikotim, he's not going to go and take back the pikotim. That doesn't make any sense, because Shimon, the one who had the deposit placed with him, can say, what do you mean you're not taking it back? Pick the chah, my yavidlu, what am I supposed to do with it? It's your stuff. So therefore, that can't be it. So it can't be that the purchaser doesn't have to accept this pikotim, so too does the one who deposited not have to accept it back. That doesn't make any sense. So Ella, what is this heckish over here in the Braisa telling us? What's the elcha lokech v'echad amavkid in regards to the din of pekotim mean? Ella, ki heche de mavkid mekabo pekotim. Just like Reuven, when he deposits this stuff with Shimon, he has to go take back this stuff with the pekotim, with the schmutz that's on the top. So too, lokeach, the one who purchases it, has to go, nami, mekabo pekotim. He also has to accept it. That's part of the accepting of the purchase, that you're going to get some of that schmutz that's on the top. Moore says, wait a second. Who says that this person who's purchasing it has to take this schmutz that's on the top? For Tanya, we learn the following brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo amru shemen achur el lemocher bilvad. The mocher doesn't have to accept it, Rabbi Yehuda says. In other words, the mocher says, listen, I'm buying this stuff from you. Granted, I have to expect that a certain amount is going to go and become sediment. A certain amount is going to be shmarim. But no pikotim. So lo amru shemen achur el lemocher bilvad, that in this situation, the one who is selling, he has to go and remove the schmutz and sell it without the schmutz on the top. Shari lokech makabel lov log umechso shmarim. Yes, the person purchasing expects to have a certain amount of the sediment over there. Yeah, 1.5 log per 100. However, below pikotim, but he doesn't expect to have any of this foam, any of this scum that's on the top. So that is the responsibility of the seller and not the responsibility of the purchaser. So this seems to go against what we just set. So Moore says, no, it's not a stira, lokasha, because ha diov lezuze b'tishrei, because shakol minei b'nisan, kimido de tishrei. No, The answer is the Braisa that said that you have to go and accept the Pekotim that we just explained, just like the person who's receiving back has to accept the Pekotim, so too does the Lokeach have to accept the Pekotim. That's when you purchased it in the month of Tishrei, when there's less cost to it, it's less expensive, that's because there's all the schmutz in it, both the sediment as well as this scum that's going to be on the top. And therefore, you're taking it during the month of Nisan when it's already normally skimmed off. But since you purchased it in Tishrei when it's not yet skimmed off, so then you have to accept it in Nisan, and it's not the responsibility of the seller, it's the responsibility of the person who's buying it. However, if you gave him money in Nisan, when you don't expect to have this schmutz on the top of it, this scum on the top of it, so then, because you're expected to buy it like the normal prices are in Nisan. The higher price you're paying is because it doesn't have the schmutz on the top, and therefore, that's the difference. The second price is saying that you don't have to accept it, that's when you're purchasing it in Nisan, and you're taking it in Nisan. The first price says you do have to accept the schmutz on the top is when you purchase it at the lower price in Tishrei, you're only taking it in Nisan, but you purchase it at the lowest price in Tishrei, and therefore you have to accept the schmutz that's on the top. Okay, let's do the next Mishnah. If Reuven goes and places a barrel with his friend Shimon, but he didn't designate a specific place that you're going to put this barrel, the tiltala, and then Shimon goes and moves the barrel, vinishtabra, and the barrel breaks, albeit the barrel breaks not because of something that he did to it, it's just because he moved it, somehow something happened, and an onus occurred, so what's the halacha? So im mitoch yado nishbura, if while he's moving the barrel, it went and broke, so then it depends. Litzor ko, if he was moving it for his own benefit, in other words, Rashi says, lishtamishba, he's using it in some sort of way, which he's not allowed to, so then he's essentially a ganav on it, and therefore, he's chayiv. However, litzor ko, but as Rashi says, if he's moving it for the benefit of the barrel, shoysa b'moko matarfa, ukrova lishtabit, it was in a place was dangerous for the barrel. Kids were playing ball over there and going to smash it. So he moved it for the protection of the barrel. So then he will be potter. However, in Mehishinicha Nishbra, when he put it down, only subsequently does it break. So then the Tanakhama says, Bein Litzor Ko, potter. Since he returned it, so now, even though he had moved it, he returned it. And therefore, if it now breaks, whether he had moved it originally for his own benefit, which was not allowed, or if he was moving it for the benefit of the barrel, which certainly was allowed, it's back now in its right place. And now if it breaks through no fault of his own, so then he's potter. Now, the Reisha was talking about where he didn't designate a place to go put the barrel. But, yichadu lo habal in mokum, if when Reuven deposited this by Shimon, they agreed that this would be the place that it would stay. And now Shimon moves it, the tutul of an ishbra, and it moved, and it breaks, so now, whether it broke now while he's moving it, or whether it broke even after he returned it to the spot. So again, here it all depends. Litzor ko, chayev, if he was doing it for his own benefit, so then he's not allowed to go and do this, and therefore if he did it, he's going to be obligated no matter what. But litzor ko, he did it for the benefit of the barrel. It was a dangerous place at that moment for the barrel, so he had to move it. Now he put it back, so then he's going to be potter. We'll have to explain in the Gemara what the difference is between the case of where he was miyachid and the first case where he was not miyachid. We'll get to that in the Gemara. So now let's go to the Gemara and understand what exactly the machlokus is in our Mishnah. So, Homani, the Gemara asks, whose opinion is our Mishnah? So it says, Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara says, our Mishnah goes in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Why? Because the Omar, lo ba'inun das balam. In general, Rabbi Shmuel says that when you return something, you don't have to let the balam know that you returned it. So if a stolen object was put back, the ganav put back the stolen object, he doesn't have to let the balam know. He has to put it back in a place where it's shomur, it's mishtameres, and therefore he's yotze, the heishivus agzela, asher gozal. But he doesn't have to necessarily notify them that the object has been returned. And therefore, our Mishnah, which says that as long as you put this barrel back into the place where it originally was, and if it subsequently breaks, so you returned it. And therefore, this goes in accord with the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. And where do we see this? The Tanya, who's learned the following brisa. Hagonev tlem in a'eda. If a person steals, rechmono litzlan, a sheep from a flock of sheep, or the sella min a kis, or he steals a sella, a certain type of a coin, from somebody's wallet. And he then goes, limakum shigonav yachzir. He has to go and return it to the place where he stole it from. He has to bring the sheep back to the flock, or he has to put the money back into the wallet. But if he did so, then he's potter now no matter what happens afterwards. Without even telling the owner that he returned the sheep, without telling the owner that he put back the money in the wallet, divri Rabbi Shmuel, he's potter. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva disagrees, and he says, and we turn to Memalo from Nalof, Sorry, das bam. You got to let the owner know, or else you haven't fulfilled and satisfied the heishiv zegzeila asher gosa. Now, our Mishnah therefore clearly goes like Rabbi Shmuel. Mora says, wait a second, e Rabbi Shmuel, if our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel, so then what difference does it make if you designated a place or not? E Rabbi Shmuel, my irya lo yichadu, afilu yichadu nami. If you don't have to let him know, so what difference does it make if it was in a designated place, like the Sefer, or it wasn't in a designated place, like the Reisha? Bottom line is, you returned it, so it shouldn't make any difference what the din should be, whether it was a designated place or not. You returned it, and if you don't have to let the Balaam know, so Rabbi Shmuel should say, in both situations, you should be potter if you returned it. So what says, no. In fact, lo mi boy kamar. This is a style of Mishnah that it didn't have to tell me this, but it told it to me anyway. Lo mi boy kamar. This style over here is lo mi boy kamar. Lo mi boy yichadu. You did not have to tell me the case where he designated it because didn't become who. He put it back right in the place where it was. So therefore, in that situation, certainly Rabbi Shmuel would say that you're going to be potter. El afilu lo yichadu. The chiddush of Rabbi Shmuel is, even in the Reisha, where you didn't have a designated place, the lag mekomu, it wasn't a set place that you put it back. Nevertheless, lo bo'in and das balam, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that you don't have to let the balam know, and therefore, as long as you returned it, even if it wasn't to a set place, you're going to be potter. So that's the first way we want to understand our Mishnah. However, the Gemara says, wait a second, keep on reading. Emo Seifa, look at the second part of the Mishnah, where it talked about the case of yichadu. Yichadu lo ha-balim mokom. The Mishnah had said, if you did designate a place, and then the tiltula, and you moved it, the nishba, and the barrel broke, so then, beimi toch yodo, beimi shenicha, whether it broke right at that very point in time, or it broke even after you put it back, litzarko chayev, litzarko potter. If you did it for your own benefit, so then you're going to be chayev, because you weren't allowed to use it. As Rashi said, if you did lishtamishbo, to use it in some way, to steal it, so then you're going to be chayev. But if it was for the purposes of the barrel, litzarko, you did it because the barrel would break where it was, then you're going to be potter. Now, this doesn't fit in with Rabbi Yishmael, because Rabbi Yishmael says as long as you return the item, even though the Balaam don't know, you should be potter. So even though you miyached it, you should be potter, even if you did it, lit sar cho, even if you did it for your benefit. So the Sefer doesn't seem to go in accordance with Rabbi Yishmael. So Gemara says, you're right, Asan Rabbi Akiva. The Sefer is actually Rabbi Akiva. The Amar Abba'in and Das Balaam, because in this situation, you must notify them. And if you didn't notify the Balaam, so then you're going to be chayiv if you did it lit sar cho. Even though it's in the same place, but you did it in Sarko, so you have to notify the Balaam. Mora says, wait a second, E Rabbi Akiva, so then my area yichadu, so then what does it make if you had a designated place for it or not? Afilu lo yichadu nami, the same halach would apply to Rabbi Akiva, whether it was miyachet or not. You have to go let them know. So Mora says, no, again, also this style is lomi boy kamar. You didn't have to tell me this, but he told it to me anyway. Lomi boy lo yichadu, you don't need to tell me the case where they didn't have a designated place because the lav makomahu, because he didn't put it back in the place where it's supposed to be. So certainly, you'd have to tell the Balaam. But even El Afilu Yichadu Nami, even the case where there was a designated place for it, and you might have thought as long as you return to that designated place, you wouldn't have to tell the Balaam, the Makomo, because it's in its right place. Nevertheless, Bo'inon Das Balaam. Rabbi Kiva would say that you need Das Balaam. So we've explained that the Reisha is like Rabbi Shmuel, and the Sefer fits in with Rabbi Akiva. And that's not what the Gemara says. Is that really true? Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, yeah, sometimes we have a style like that. And in fact, on this very Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan made the following comment. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, mandi mitagim li chovis aliba the chatana. If anybody can explain a Mishnah in accord with one Tana, we just explained, it's impossible to explain it with one Tana. The Sefer will be a kash for Rabbi Shmuel, and the Reish will be a kash for Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yochanan said, if anybody can explain our Mishnah as going in accord with one Tana, not the way we just explained it, that the Reish is Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer is Rabbi Akiva, if somebody could explain it that way, I will be his servant. I will go and bring his clothing after him to the bathhouse. So I will act as his servant. In other words, this is an expression we find throughout Shas. They will say, you know, if you tell me his din, I'll be your servant. I so desperately want to know what the halacha is, I'll even go be an eved to you, so to say, if you tell me what the halacha is. So Yochanan said, there's no way to possibly learn our Mishnah as not being Reish Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer Rabbi Akiva, so much so that if somebody could explain it, I would be their servant. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.